For if you have suffered physically for Christ, you have finished with sin. Now, I think about a woman in this church that I taught her and her husband these principles, and she came down with breast cancer. And I told her what the problem was. She received it, and we prayed for her, and I told her, I said, you're now healed. And her husband told me, he said, now look, I'm new at this. I have never seen this before in my life. The church we go to, they don't teach these kind of things. So he said, you know, I'm going to take her in and have surgery done anyway. I said, well, okay. You know, if you can't go there, I said, I guarantee you on the word of the living God, since your wife and you have gotten rid of your sin, I guarantee the Lord has healed your wife of breast cancer. But he took her in, and they went in and done part of the surgery. And when they went in and got started, after they made the intrusion and everything there and done some tests of the skin, they found out before they had to amputate their breast that sure enough, there was no cancer left in her breast. And she was very happy, but within a couple of weeks, they were back at church. And they were sitting right over here where Scott's sitting, and that Sunday. And as they were sitting there, she was upset and he was upset because they would not believe God. He said, I'm so sorry that I didn't believe God. He said, now my wife has had this intrusion into her breast. She's not able to raise her arm up anymore without pain. And I said, you know what I believe? I believe the God that we serve is so merciful and he's so kind. I believe if you both will tell him right now out loud before this church how sorry you are that you didn't trust him, that which they did. I said, now I'm going to pray the prayer of faith for you right here. And I walked right over there and leaned over that first booth and laid hands on her and prayed for her and asked the Lord to be merciful to both of them and forgive them and to heal and restore her and make her normal again. I said, now then, ma'am, the arm that you couldn't raise, lift it up. And she raised that arm just straight up right here that day. And she was completely, totally healed. I'm telling you, faith moves the hand of our God, doesn't he? I mean, that's what moves his hand. Now, he didn't want them to have to go there. He didn't want her to get into unforgiveness. But see, we've even nailed it down even further on a woman on breast cancer. If you have breast cancer in your left breast, you always have unforgiveness toward a female member of your family. It's a very personal thing. We've seen this hundreds of times. Now, if it happens to be in your right breast, you have unforgiveness toward a female acquaintance, somebody that's not a female member of your family, like a mother, daughter, sister, so on and so forth. But it's just an acquaintance, and that always seems to appear up in the right breast. So we've just noticed this over the years being in the healing ministry. You know, but I mean, I've been in the ministry now for almost 20 years, you know, seeing people healed. I've learned a lot of things about God's Word in those 20 years. But nearly everything he's taught me has been around the area of healing. Isn't it amazing how God calls a person to do something for him? And of course, this is what he called me to do. And I'm grateful because I feel so honored to be able to pray the prayer of faith for people and see God move. You know, it's just a wonderful thing. But the Lord says there, for if you have suffered physically for Christ, you have finished with sin. Now then, sometimes we have to suffer. You know, it kind of reminds me of a young son or a young daughter. You tell them what their rules are at home. They will always test those rules to see if they're going to work. They will never believe you. It's just, I've never seen a child yet that will believe mother and dad. And so they do something, they break the rule. And you get the board out and you give them three or four good hard licks. Well, maybe that got through to one of them, but maybe the other one thought, that wasn't so bad. And so maybe 6 months later, a year later, they break the rules again. And if they break the rule again, if three licks didn't do it the first time, this time you better give them five. You know, and if five don't do it, the next time you better give them seven. or whatever it takes until their little bottom is so red they can't sit down. Then whenever that pain is that severe, they will finally, when they start to sin again, there'll be a little, I already feel that back there. I don't think I'm going to do that again. Is that the way it works? When you get to past their pain factor, where that they know they don't, what they want to do is not worth the pain that they're going to have to pay, they're through with sin. And that's the same way it is with God. You know, now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to sin, do you? I don't like being disciplined by God. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. You know, and every Christian should realize that if you come down sick, I don't care what the problem is, the very first thing you should do the minute you start feeling bad, you should say, Lord, what did I do that doesn't please you? In fact, this morning, I don't hear very many messages like this one I heard this morning from a Baptist church. But this morning I was listening to a Baptist church in Atlanta, Georgia, Dr. Charles Stanley. But for the first time in my life, I heard Dr. Charles Stanley preach on the sovereignty of God. And he preached one of the best messages on the sovereignty of God I've ever heard. He is the only Baptist preacher I've ever heard that said God is in control of everything that happens on this earth, both good and bad. I've never heard another preacher preach that other than myself. But he preached it. And I thought, well, that man's got it together. You know, God is in control, isn't he, Casey? He's in control. And so when I saw this, I thought, wow, that was a great message. But if you have suffered physically for Christ, you have finished with sin. Well, I'd hope that every one of us in this room are finished with sin. Because if we are, your life can be wonderfully blessed if you're finished with sin. If you're not, then you're going to have more times of pain and suffering. It will come. Then he says, if you're finished with sin, you won't spend the rest of your life chasing your own desires. Now, you know, how many young men especially, of course today it's just about as bad with the young women, they all seem to have an agenda. You know, what are you going to do when you graduate from high school? Oh, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. Or I'm going to go to college, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to join the military, or whatever. Did you pray about it? Pray about it? No, it's just what I want to do. That's your first mistake. You should have prayed. You should have asked God what He wants you to do. Because He has a plan for your life. And if you will pray and seek Him, He will direct you in the right directions. You won't spend the rest of your life chasing your own desires. Because if you chase your own desires, you'll never be prosperous and successful. And your life probably won't be as long. But you will be anxious to do the will of God. In other words, every one of us that are Christians, if we're a Christian of any kind at all, we should be anxious to be about God's plan in our life. Lord, what do you want me to do? I mean, we should be asking Him. We should be praying. We should be seeking His will. Lord, what do you want me to do? He will show you. He may even give you a dream or a vision to tell you. But He will, if you will ask Him, and if you'll make sure you stop sinning, make sure you're walking in obedience to His word, and you begin to pray and seek His face, God will direct your path. He will show you exactly what it is He wants you to do. Now then, verse 3 and 4. You have had enough in the past of evil things that godless people enjoy. I hope you have, if you're a Christian. Now, obviously, this is not true for all Christians, because I see a lot of Christians committing these sins that are listed here in the next few lines. You have had enough in the past of the evil things that godless people enjoy, their immorality and their lust. Now then, just like this couple I told you about a while ago, you know, their lust for each other brought them together about 10 years ago. And of course, their immorality, you know, the flesh wants to go to bed with each other, so that's what they did. And of course, when a young man and a young woman go to bed together, they usually get pregnant, and that's what they did. They had no idea that in the process of their sin, they were going to bring a little boy into the world that's going to be sick all of his life. You know, he's got all these allergies and asthmas and all the different things that was wrong with the boy. And it was all because of the parents' sin. It's like, I don't know why the church doesn't teach this stronger, because it's certainly in the book. That's where I learned it. But it says, the things that godless people enjoy, their immorality and their lust, their feasting and drunkenness. Now, I know today people don't feast and get drunk. Isn't that a shame today? I mean, it is a shame, an absolute shame, that when I think about my son being in the business he's in the business to help people that are obese in weight. He helps lots of them. I mean, you know, but what a shame for a man to get to the point where he weighs 350 to 400 pounds before he starts doing something about it. Now, Cheryl and I was down in a little tiny restaurant here in Justin the other day and had an evening meal. And I couldn't have been 50 people in there, I don't think. Maybe not even that, maybe 40. But out of those few people, there was two women and one man in that place that I know weighed somewhere between 350 and 400 pounds. I couldn't believe these people were so big. But you know, people sit around and feast. Now, I don't know whether those people got drunk or not, but feasting or getting grossly overweight is a sin. You're abusing your temple. You know, your temple is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You should take care of your temple. You know, I weigh every night. Every night when I take my clothes off and I get ready to take a shower, I step on the scales to see what I weigh. And if I weigh a little more, a half a pound or a pound more than I did tomorrow, I try to eat less or I try to exercise more. Because when I step on the scales the next day, I want to be the right size. I don't want to step on the scales and say, well, I hadn't weighed in a month, so I step on the scales and say, well, I couldn't button my britches today. So, well, I'm only 5 pounds overweight. No big deal. So next month I weigh and I'm 10 pounds over and then 20 pounds over. And then one day when I get to be 300 pounds, I say, well, I maybe ought to do something about this. Hey, I think that's a way too long, don't you?
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, Receive a Crown of Glory and Honor, in its entirety or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.